We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
Good evening. No, we can do better than that, right? Good evening. There we go. I knew you were alive. I could hear you from where I was sitting already. Well, it's good to be with you again. I'm sorry, I did not tell him to say that. I know last time I was here, I think I insulted James, and they have not let me live that down. But you, regarding that, as long as I'm there, I'll leave that alone for now. No, we are glad to be here and report to the things that God is doing. What I want to share with you tonight is God's story. This is not my story. This is not the great things that I have done. We want to point to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and point to the things that God is doing in Nicaragua. And so we're going to share some pictures, and you guys can pull up those pictures now, and I want to first introduce my family to you. God is moving.
Yes.
All right. This is my family. If you have not met them before, it's my wife and I met at Word of Life Bible Institute just down the road here, and we have been married for 14 years now, and God has given us six lovely daughters, ranging in age from 12 years old down to 3 years old. And if you want their names, they are on the card in the back, just behind the sound booth there on the other side of the wall. And we urge you to pick one up. And it has all their information, email, website, all that kind of stuff. Facebook, if you do Facebook, we encourage you to find us there and keep up with us that way. So our youngest was born in Costa Rica. And so, she will have dual citizenship. When she turns 18, she can go back and claim that and have dual citizenship between the United States and Costa Rica. So we were here just after 1 year of language school. We came back for a night, maybe a Wednesday night like tonight, and gave a quick update about what language school was all about. And so now we're going to focus on the last couple of years about what God is doing. So in the next picture, I want to introduce to you the pastor that we have been working with for the last couple of years. When we arrived in Nicaragua, we started praying about God leading someone to us that we could work with. And if you follow our updates, you saw that we've worked with a couple different ones over the last couple years. But then we identified a community that is right next to the ABWE Ministry Center. ABWE is the mission that we're with, and they have a 165-acre property that they use for camp, for training center, for Bible Institute, training church planters, and that kind of thing. And so right next to this training center, some developers purchased a large piece of property, an old farm, and began building houses to develop this community. And so another missionary family was telling us about this community being built right next to the ministry center, and they had no church. And so we began praying together that we would have the opportunity to move in there and see a church started in this community called Vistas del Momotombo. And to do that, we believe that I should not be the pastor, the other missionary should not be the pastor or church planter, but that God would bring a national church planter and pastor, a Nicaraguan young man, to be the church planter. And that it's a little difference in philosophy that I'll just mention to you right now. The old school way of doing things is not necessarily wrong, just different. Where a missionary may go and plant a church and be there for several years, however long it may be, to really get that church in a good position, and then look to turn that over to a national pastor in whatever country they may be in. And that was kind of the traditional way of doing things. We wanted to approach things just a little bit different. Instead of turning it over one day and going through that whole cycle of trying to figure things out, make sure it's the right guy, the right fit, let the church decide, I decide, how does this all work? We said, let's start from the beginning and have him be the leader, the pastor, the church planter, and let him cast that vision with our assistance and support. And so God brought to us a young man named Marco and his wife Gabby, and they have two young children, and our children call them aunt and uncle, and they call us aunt and uncle, and we have a great relationship with them. We have 100% confidence in them, and we wish that one day you'll get a chance to meet them, whether here or in Nicaragua, or perhaps one day when we're all together in glory. But as we move to the next picture, we want to show you some good friends of ours that we met when we moved into the community. Our goal in that first year was just to build relationships. It was not to start Bible studies, not to start church services, not to go door-to-door evangelizing, and I'm not against any of that. I think those are all great things. But the first year was just about making our presence known in the community and getting to know people. And so in this case, in this picture that you see, it was just going for a walk. And we stopped and talked with this family. They invited us up to see all their animals. And we struck up a conversation and a relationship. And they began attending the church and eventually joined the church. And so this is just how God has opened doors one step at a time for this family. In the next picture are some other good friends that we met in a similar way. Their names are Norman and Christiane. And they are a young couple that were living together, not married. They have two young children. And they began attending Bible studies that we would start. And eventually started coming to church services as well. And we were challenging them with the gospel the whole time. They were in our house, other people of the other missionaries' house, Marco and Gabby's house, and listening to the things of the gospel. And it was quite common to talk about what their need was. There was no question that Norman was not a believer. We discovered that Christiana made a profession of faith as a teenager and never grew. In fact, at this point, now they were living together with two young children. And we came to the point in our church services when they finally started that we were getting ready to have communion service. And in our country and culture and context, we wanted to make sure that everyone understood what communion was all about, that it had nothing to do with salvation. We were simply celebrating and remembering what Christ has done for us. So we took several weeks to explain what this communion service was all about. And so the day finally came where we started passing the cup and the bread and celebrating what Christ has done. And we noticed that they let the elements pass on by. And that struck up a conversation later that day. And we asked them, why didn't you partake of the elements? And Christiane said, well, because we're living in sin. We're married we're living together and we're not married. And we realize, they're getting it. They're understanding that this is serious stuff here. This is about salvation, and we're talking about their souls. And then someone said, and Norman is not a Christian, and that was not offensive to him. It was very clear. He understood because he was being challenged with the things of the gospel week in and week out. But he stopped us at this time, and he said, well, wait a minute. Why do you say that? And he went on to explain to us that they had been reading the scriptures on their way to work. They had about an hour drive on the way to work each day, and they would read the scriptures together. And they would talk about the things that they were hearing for the first time. And he told us that very week, on their way to work, that he asked Christ to save him. And so they said to us, we need to get married because we don't want to miss the next communion service. So the wedding plans flew together, and a couple weeks later, they were married. And this is what God is doing in the lives of people in Nicaragua. We are excited to see that God is changing lives. Now, they're not perfect. He'll tell you that. They'll tell you that. One of the things you'll see, we'll mention here toward the end, is that alcohol holds a death grip on the men of Nicaragua. And this is a struggle that Norman has. And he'll tell you that to your face, that he struggles with alcohol. And so we ask that you'd pray for Norman and Christiane and many of the other men in Nicaragua that they struggle with alcohol and has been just a harness on them of keeping them from the gospel. Well, as we move to the next picture, we want you to see some. I was talking with a couple of guys here as I walked in tonight. They were saying, we heard about your house filling up. And as we started Bible studies, that our house began to fill up each Wednesday night, or each Friday night, rather. And in fact, what happened was the first year, remember this timeline that I talked about that first year? We're going to look at a five-year timeline to try to kind of explain everything. The first year was build relationships. Going into the second year was about beginning the home Bible studies. And the goal for that second year was that perhaps we could reach 6, 8, 10, 15 people by the end of that second year in the timeline, the first year Bible studies, and that through that group of people, we could then proceed with starting a church. And so at the end of that first year, we began planning toward having like a picnic day, a friend day that you're getting ready to have this weekend, right? And so we started planning toward this friend day, we called it. It was going to be a big picnic. We invited the entire community, put banners up through the community, handed out flyers house to house. Everybody was talking. The whole community was kind of a buzz. Wherever we'd go, people would ask about it. When is it? What time is it? What are you doing? What's it like? Can we bring anything? We invited vendors to come in, people that sold food on out of their house front or on the sidewalk. It's a different culture, so you have to understand it. But people would sell food, and we invited them all to come over, and they could sell to people who would come over for this friend day. And no charge, they could keep the proceeds and everything. We just wanted to have a place where people knew where we were, who we were, and that we were going to have the opportunity to offer Bible studies that they could come to. And so the day came. We weren't sure how many to expect. We thought 100, couple hundred. I mean, everyone's talking, but we didn't know how many to expect. When the gates opened and people started coming in, over 600 people came through the gate that day to participate in the Friend Day. And, you know, this is before any Bible study, before any church services. This was the first big event that we were having. And so we had the opportunity to share the gospel that day. We had the opportunity to invite them to a home Bible study that next Friday would be in our house that you see in our living room in those pictures. And we invited them to come to that Bible study. And again, that Friday night came. We had no idea how many to expect. We set up chairs that you can see there. We thought, you know, the goal was like 6 to 10 that people that would come. And when the doors opened and Bible study began, there was nearly 50 people in our living room for that first Bible study. And that's the way it went over the next several weeks and months. And people began asking, well, what about church services? Are you going to have worship services? What about church on Sunday? Are you going to ever have church services? So we started getting the clue that they wanted church services on Sunday morning. So this was year 3 in our timeline, right? We're just at the beginning of year 2, and people are asking about our plan for year 3. Now, I've learned a principle from Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. It says, man's mind makes his plans, but the Lord directs his steps. And so we trusted that the Lord was leading now to begin church services, so we began planning toward that, and a few months later, we began holding church services in our house. So we'd set up chairs, and we called our house a multipurpose building. It went from home to schoolhouse to Bible study group to church services to fellowship hall where we'd put all the chairs back, set up tables, and have a little picnic inside even. And so we used our house for everything. And it was chaotic at times. It was stressful at times. But we were seeing what God was doing, and we were excited to be a part of it. So people came in our house. If we go to the next picture, you'll see that as the church began to grow, people were making decisions, coming to Christ, getting right with the Lord. And we started organizing more about what the church would look like. And we had written a statement of faith. This was going to be a daughter church from where our pastor had come from. And so we had the basic statement of faith, the constitution and bylaws and things like that that we adapted a little bit. And we told people, if you're interested in joining this church and becoming a member, come to the membership classes that we're going to have for the next several consecutive Sundays, that we're just going to share with them, this is where the church is. This is what we believe. And this is, if you want to join the church, this is where we're at. And so you can see the group of people in these pictures that joined or that came to the classes and eventually joined. And on that first Sunday, I think I have in the next picture a baptism service. We had a baptism service. You can go to the next one as well. And that first Sunday, there was 26 adult members that joined, officially joined the church. And yet the church continued to grow. We thought, where are we going to put people? I told one of the guys, Lou, right? I think I told Lou tonight that we were talking about opening up bedroom doors and putting people off in the bedrooms because the living room was filling up. And so we began praying about what God would have for us. Would there be a place to buy or build? What existed in this community? So we just began to pray. That next week, $13,000 came in for the church, for whatever needs that the church had. And so we said, this is serious. So let's go talk with the developers and ask, what is there to build or buy? What are our options here for a church? And so they showed us a few different properties to consider, and we identified one particular one. In fact, let's go to the next one. We got the people praying, and as we identified one property, we brought all the people together and said, let's pray if God has us for our church that he would provide. If you go to the next picture, you'll see that this is the property that we identified. That's me, of course, with Richard, another missionary, and Marco, who's the pastor. And we said, this is the one we're praying for. And a few weeks later, we came out from a leadership meeting that we had, and we heard some noise going on up the road where this property was. So we went to investigate, and word had gotten around that the Baptist church was interested in this property. And so the Catholic church, like we had seen before, kind of were there having events, staking their claim, saying, we're going to claim this property. They had already started raising money. It was $64,000 to buy the property that we were looking at. They had raised over $40,000 already. We had $13,000. And so we got together right there and prayed together, and we said, God, if you want us to have this property, would you provide? So the next morning, we began putting out emails and phone calls and so forth and letting everyone know, like you guys, like Faith Baptist here in Newport Richey, there's this need. And if God wants to provide, he's going to have to provide through his people. And miraculously, within 3 weeks, about 2.5 weeks, every dime was donated, $64,000, and Iglesia Bautista La Gracia was able to buy this property. And we want to give you thanks for being a part of that and helping the church to be able to secure this property and have a footprint there in Vistas del Momotombo for the sake of the gospel. So we give you thanks and we give praise to our Lord for your part in that. So thank you very much. Let's go to the next picture here, and you can see the property. We said, well, there's no big building, it's a small building. And we said, all right, we're just going to meet in our house for the next however long until we're able to build something. And the people said, no, we want to go out on the property. We're going to be right there in the center of things. If you look at Google Maps and find our community and look down, you see that this is smack dab in the middle of the community where we live. Everybody goes by it all the time. There's a little store right across the road in a little island area, and everyone goes past there all the time. It's very visible. And people said, we want to be right there so people can see. Now, so we said, well, we'll put up a tent. So we, at least we have some blockage from the sun. So we put up the tent, and that's where we meet. The adults meet under the tent. The kids meet in this building that you see, the little white building there, and the church has continued to grow. Going to the next picture here, you see the name and the banner there, and we had another friend day, and I think the next picture shows the friend day that we had, or not, that's just another service. We'll keep going to the next picture. Another friend day, the Sunday before we left, I was telling Pastor Todd and Pastor Mike about this, that this was 1 year later. And this time it was not an open invitation with banners and flyers and all that. It was an invitation that each member or each attender even of the church could invite their neighbors, not grandma on the other side of the city, but your neighbors. This was the invitation for them because the responsibility was that they would also do the follow-up. That was the call. It was not just invite and let the pastors go and missionaries go and do the follow-up. No, you're responsible to do the follow-up as well. So we'd had training through this and people had taken invitations. And now, 1 year after that big friend day, that first one we had, a year later, we had the second friend day. And when the doors opened, the gates opened, over 200 people came to that second friend day, personally invited by everyone in the church. And that was 1 week before we left. And so that happened, and we came back to the States, not able to see exactly what was going to go on over the next few months, personally. So we look back at Facebook, and we stay in touch with Marco and Gabby and Richard and Carrie and the different ones in the church. And we look at pictures on Facebook from different Bible studies or church services or whatever, and I'm not exaggerating. There are half the people in that picture that we don't recognize. The church is continuing to grow. And I say that to you because I want you to know it's not about me. Jesus didn't say, Dan will build my church. What did he say? I will build my church, and even the gates of hell will not prevail against it. This is God's church, and so we give him all the honor and the glory and the praise for that. And we thank you for your part in partnering with our family, for praying for us. It's an encouragement to know when I walked in to the building tonight and several different people came up and said, hey, you know, they're asking about this, about the property, about our family. And it's encouraging to know that we're not just some missionary out there doing their thing in a foreign land, but you're connected with what's going on and what God is doing with our family in Nicaragua. So we thank you very much from the bottom of our heart. As we close here, we're going to share a video, I think is the next thing that we're going to get to. And this is Marco introducing himself. It's just a couple minutes long. And we want you to hear from Marco and his perspective of planting the church. Now, Marco doesn't speak English, but we have a translator. So those of you who don't speak Spanish will be able to understand. But when you're ready, go ahead and roll that. And we'll hear from Marco giving his testimony.
I am a pastor here in Nicaragua with a new church that I am planting. I didn't want to be a pastor. I didn't think that was something that I wanted in my life. But God changed my direction and He showed me that He wanted me to be a pastor. When I came to work here with Central Avenue, we started working with missionaries, started talking about the possibility of planting a church. This is when God clearly started opening the doors. We started meeting in the Doyle family's home. Since we outgrew the house, started praying and asked God to show us a place to meet. And God surprised us again. We were able to purchase a property for a church building, Grace Baptist Church. In our community, there was hard work that the Catholic Church was doing. But before our church, there was no biblical church there. Many people in the community do not go to church and have not responded to the gospel, so we can see the need. The response of the community has been greater than we thought it would be, and we were surprised when more people than we expected started coming. Something that is unique about our church, which is not common in Nicaragua, is that we have couples and families who attend services. One of the greater problems in Nicaragua that we face, not only in this community, is husbands are abusing their wives and their kids. Many times this has to do with alcohol and addictions. And that produces problems in the family. These are common problems within the context of Nicaragua. This is just a way they have tried to satisfy the spiritual emptiness. I am speaking from my own experience. Before I came to Christ, I had a big problem with alcohol, and I came to see how only Christ alone could change my life. And I know He can transform others' lives because He transformed mine. One of the things that we are focusing on is to teach the families how to have a Christian home. When I think of the future and where the church is going, I see a church that is able to grow and form families and couples that are solid. I see a church that is focused on making disciples. I see a church teaching other pastors and missionaries for planting other churches.
Gracia is not just to have a group of believers there and settled there and left there. The goal in seeing this church planted is to see a church that will be multiplying. That's in the vision from the very beginning. That's a vision that Marco has, to see this church as a multiplying church. We've already identified areas that when we're ready to begin sending out right there in Nicaragua as well as around the world. And so be praying for the church there in Nicaragua, that it will be a multiplying church impacting the country of Nicaragua for years to come. The next big thing that we have is to see a church building, a facility built. And so we ask that you would pray for that as God provides, and we would be able to pursue that and get out from under the tent. One of the interesting things here in Florida, it can be 95 degrees and you can come into a beautiful air-conditioned room and be able to fellowship and worship together. And we sit there at 9 o'clock in the morning in 90-degree heat, sweating like crazy, but God's people are coming, and other people are coming to hear the gospel, and we're thrilled to see what God is doing. But we want you to know that we are grateful, and we look forward to what God will do in that church there in Nicaragua. I want to look to the Word of God for the remainder of the time that we have here. And if you've studied some biblical history, some true history of what has happened, about 700 years before Christ, the Assyrians came in and took captive much of Israel and deported them out of the land. And that the Babylonians came in a while later and took out some more. And there was several different deportations. Some were able to come back in the land under men like Nehemiah, Ezra, Zerubbabel, but there were these deportations. And then there were some mixed marriages that happened as a result as well. But there was what was known as the dispersion. And the dispersion is mentioned several times in Scripture, and in the New Testament particularly, we see this appear a few different times. In fact, James writes in his greeting, says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes of the dispersion. Peter has a similar greeting. He says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion. And he's writing to those who are sort of scattered around outside of the nation of Israel. And Jesus mentioned those who were scattered among the Greeks, those who had been dispersed. This word dispersed is really the word scattered. It's the idea of having a sack of seed strapped on you and reaching in and scattering the seed, throwing it out there to who knows where it would land. And that's where the Israelites found themselves. Now you're wondering, why am I talking about this word scattered or dispersed? Well, this has been Missions Month, right? And we often think about missions in the context of the New Testament, particularly Matthew 28. We have Mark 16, 15, 16, And we have Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which is Luke's rendition of the Great Commission. You know Acts 1, 8, right? But you will receive power after that. The Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Where? In Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, right? And we often think of this going out from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the rest of the world as sort of a New Testament concept, that this is the Great Commission that we simply received after Christ had come and ascended back into heaven, and now we are supposed to go out. Do you know that I believe that this was God's plan from the very beginning? From the very beginning, the first chapters of Genesis, God gave a command to the animals first, and then to Adam and Eve. He gave the same command. Do you remember what that was? Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Now, some have accused me of trying to accomplish that personally. Well, you can draw your own conclusions. But be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. For what purpose? To go out and make God's name great. Now, this command was given before sin. Do you realize that? This is not a result of sin, not a result of Christ's death and resurrection and ascension back into heaven and the establishment of the church. This was a mission that God gave mankind to make his name great. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth to make my name great. That was the purpose. Well, of course, if we continue reading in the first few chapters of Genesis, you get to chapter 3 and you see sin come into the world. And that changed everything. They were expelled from the garden. They were given a new direction. They were promised a Savior. And as we know, sin got worse and worse. So we get to chapter 6 of Genesis, and Noah comes on the scene. And God's ready to wipe out the entire world and save Noah alone, which he does through the ark. And Noah and his family are saved through the ark, and they get off the ark in chapter 9, and Noah is given the same command. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. He was given that same command. Noah, I'm starting over again with you. Go make my name great throughout all the earth. You continue reading the next couple of chapters, you get to chapter 11, and it's the event of the Tower of Babel. You remember that? Where after they had come off the ark, they had continued to multiply. Now there was millions, perhaps billions of people on the earth once again, all there in one place. And they said, let us build a tower to the heavens so we won't be scattered. That's the word that we find there in the scriptures. So we won't be scattered. They were trying to reject the very thing that God had commissioned them to do, to go fill the earth. So they said, let's stay right here in one place so we won't be scattered. So God says, we're going to come down and confuse their languages and scatter them throughout all the earth. So now we have all of these languages now that we had to spend a year trying to learn, right? And so now God is scattering his people. You can continue to track this. We won't because of time, but you can continue to track this throughout all of Genesis and the Old Testament from Abraham being called from the land of his birth to go to a plan that he didn't even to go to a place that he didn't even know where he was going, right? God called him from one place to another, all in an effort to make his name great. And finally, we get to the New Testament, and you see this fulfilled, this scattering and making his name great, proclaiming the gospel now in the age of the church. It's interesting when you get to the book of Acts. Of course, in Acts chapter 2, you see the establishment of the church. And God uses Peter, and the word of God goes out. 3,000 souls were added to the church. This is another interesting study. 3,000 souls were added to the church. And a few chapters later, as the word continues to go out, 5,000 more are added to the church. By the time you get to chapter 6, we read this, and the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly. It's interesting to me how the church moves under God's directive from adding to multiplication. This is God scattering his people so that the word of God increases and the disciples are multiplied. That's the Great Commission, is it not? That's the Great Commission, that as you are going, make disciples. The idea of making his disciples is multiplying those who are following Christ. That's the principle that Christ gave us, to disperse his people throughout the land and see this multiplication. As we get to chapter 8 in the book of Acts, that's where I just want to finish up here in the remaining minutes that we have. You see in the first couple of verses of Acts chapter 8, you see Saul was consenting unto the death of Stephen. He was there, consenting unto the death of Stephen, one of the first deacons. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made a great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women committed committed them to prison. Therefore, they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word. You know, we live in a day today where we're pretty comfortable. In fact, that has become a god to our culture in North America, to just seek comfort. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with comfort. I like to put my feet up. I like to relax. I like to find a nice place, nice quiet place for my family, for me, to visit with friends. There's nothing wrong with comfort. But many times we've made that a god. And the early church faced persecution among the religious leaders, particularly here as it names Saul, who would become the Apostle Paul. They faced this persecution, and under this persecution, God used to scatter them and preach the word and establish his church. I wonder if what we pray regarding the church and regarding missions, regarding these friends that you have invited or are getting ready to invite, have we prayed not for comfort, but for God's will to be done, no matter what that is? We have a good friend, another church planter, Nicaraguan friend, who's up in the mountains. They've been as rural as you can be. You have to drive forever, and then you walk up the rest of the way, and you finally get there, and there has gathered a group of believers just under the trees. And a few years ago, they were getting ready to put some water lines in for the first time in this area, and they were going to put in a bathroom. The first time they were going to have a bathroom, they were getting plumbing, and they said, well, let's build a bathroom. And so Pastor Luis was out there taking pictures of materials that they were going to purchase for this and getting prices and all of that. And the local Catholic priest saw him out there and called the police from the next town over and had them come and arrest him for accusing him that he was going to rob the store. And they took him away, and he was in jail in the next town over for several hours before anyone had any idea or could figure out where he was. They eventually got the whole thing straightened out, and he was released from jail. No accusations were pursued. But God used his testimony in that place because he didn't live there. He was not from there. He simply saw a need and began going there to preach the word. And his testimony went forth, and the church began to grow. I wonder what we're willing to endure for the sake of the gospel. You know the story of the Apostle Paul quite well. He was arrested. He was under house arrest. He was eventually martyred for what he was preaching. And yet we read at the end of the book of Ephesians, he asked for boldness, to make known with all boldness the mystery of the gospel. Look at Acts chapter 6 when you get a chance tonight. You see the whole thing about the armor of God. And then Paul closes asking for prayer. And I want to ask the same for you tonight. You look at the Apostle Paul, you look at your pastors, you look at a missionary and say, well, they're missionaries, they're pastors. It's the Apostle Paul. They're going to go out with all boldness and preach the word, make known the gospel. Can I put that prayer to you as well? To pray for boldness, perhaps in your context right now, to invite that friend for this Sunday. To pray for all boldness as your pastors get ready to preach the word at different Bible studies, church services, whatever it might be on their plate for the next coming weeks and years. To pray for boldness for your missionaries as they go out to make known the gospel. God has scattered us all the way to Nicaragua. Perhaps he's scattering you here in the Newport Richey area. And maybe he would pick you up and scatter you somewhere else. Can I encourage you to start here? You have a great opportunity this Sunday with this Friend and Family Day to invite others to come and be a part of the fellowship and hear the word of God preached. We have been scattered for the purpose of making his name known. You are here in Newport Richey, not by accident. God has placed you here for that very purpose.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.